I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 3rd, 2026, and it was my intention not to film today and to stay as far away from the office as I possibly could and literally just spend the day doing whatever my kids wanted me to do. But that proved impossible. I just had to take a peek, see what was happening on day four, and I just want to present a brief summary and why it is I have such concerns, especially with what I just heard. Trump has presented a plan via Truth Social to send American ships into the Strait of Hormuz to restore the supply of tanker traffic to get global oil markets moving again before the oil prices shoot up so much. He's very concerned with the price of oil. Puts me in mind of biblical references to hurt not the price of the oil and the wine. And this is a disaster. Because the Iranians' ability to fire ballistic missiles, in spite of all of the rosy prognostications of Israel and the United States at this point, has not been nullified by any stretch. The strait is very narrow. U.S. assets in the strait is a great big open invitation for ballistics, but also smaller drones. The terrain around the strait is just, it's full of mountains. Lots of cutouts, lots of places to hide ordnance. That's the reason the tanker traffic is anchored, because they don't believe they can pass through the strait without Iran potentially hitting them. They've already hit four. And taking those military assets, those naval assets that are now at a safe range, and putting them right in the strait is just asking for a disaster. Now, I listened to the press conference today where he talked about worst case and best cases scenario. If they're able to successfully knock out the regime, and that's the other thing. Look, I am so sick and tired of bots and people who are incapable of thinking, telling me that it was an Iranian missile that killed all the kids in the school. First off, it's not just one school. It's multiple schools now, multiple hospitals. That school was hit on the opening salvo of the bloody war. I've had people say it's not a war. Trump described it as a war today. For the people who yesterday told me it wasn't a war, why don't you come now and explain your pretzel logic? You have to change your story now because the great leader has said it's a war. I mean, you got Marco Rubio who comes out and he says that Israel was going to attack anyway. And if they attacked, Iran would attack the United States, and so we didn't have a choice. We just joined in. We were basically dragged in. We were forced to come in because Israel was going to do it anyway. You know, the United States had an option that I don't hear anybody discussing. They could have let Israel attack, and they could have condemned them for it instead of just joining in. And you know what? I bet you any money, not a single ballistic missile would have fallen on a Gulf Arab state or any of the other places that Iran is firing at right now. At the end of the day, the people who started the war are responsible for all of the chain of consequences that have arisen from it. You've just pushed a fundamentalist Shiite society into an existential war, a society that believes at their core in the concept of martyrdom. And you martyred their pope, their visible leader. And they're out there right now rallying in Tehran. I just watched a story, a clip of a rally in Tehran. They're out in the open and in the midst of bombs falling. They're rallying, asking for retaliation. They're burying the dead children in the open. Again, not worried about being bombed. Far from taking the regime down, this war effort has made the regime stronger. And you know what made it even stronger? Something else that just came out of Trump's press conference with German Chancellor Merz is that Trump said, in spelling out his best and worst case scenarios from Iran, and I got to admit, I mean, it's just mumbling, moving back and forth between themes and talking about how everything's big. His way of talking has never been more annoying, but what he said was substantive. He basically said, we took out the targets that we were going to take out with the Ayatollah and all of these highly placed individuals in the government, and we had a group of people that we wanted to take over, but we killed them too, and then we had a third group, and we killed them too. Best case, worst case scenario is that we're hoping to keep the regime intact, and bring in somebody from within the regime that we can negotiate with and can keep on ruling. So those democracy protesters, the people who want democracy in Iran and who are frustrated with the current government, you just basically told them they're not going to get that government if they rise up, because you're looking to negotiate. You're looking to put in place somebody from within the ranks, and you keep killing the people that you're identifying that could actually run Iran. This is Trump's words. This isn't me talking. This is what he said. So what incentive do they have in the midst of being bombed into oblivion and having their children and their friends, civilians, being killed left, right, and center? And if you're in denial of that, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not even going to try and convince you anymore. Insult me in the comments section. Come at me. I'll take it all. You people, you're intellectually bereft. You're so dishonest. You're so team sports. You identify that the left is subject to being propagandized, to being weaponized through emotion, and you don't even see it in yourselves. I've said it all along on this channel. I don't know how so many people are with me at this point and don't understand that I am not partisan. There are hypnotized, propagandized, talking point team sports people on the right and on the left. This is a big deal. It started with the 30,000 or 40,000, depending on who you talk to, people who were killed by the Iranian regime. Sure, cold blood. I'm with you. But that was the core. Those were the people who were willing to stand closest to the guns, unarmed, to overthrow the regime. Those were the closest. They were begging for help at the time. And Israel and the United States did not come to help. I'm starting to wonder, since Israel initiated this thing, that's the one thing all of the administration around Donald Trump seems to agree with, is that Israel initiated this conflict. I'm starting to believe they don't want a cohesive government. They want to fragment Iran. They want every ethnic group fighting against each other. So while they are more than happy to use the American taxpayers' treasure and military assets in the pursuit of their military campaign, they're also more than happy to undermine American objectives. I don't think they want stable government. I think they want chaos. And so while they're making use of America's military arsenal to advance their cause, they're also willing to undermine Donald Trump's objectives and the administration's objectives. And that's another thing. You listen to Hegseth talk. You listen to Rubio talk. You listen to Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz. You listen to these characters talk, as I did late into the hours of this morning, last night, whatever. They are tripping over themselves to give Donald Trump credit for this entire war. His bold leadership, Trump's the man, Trump's the guy. They're setting him up for the fall. He's the fall guy. This disaster continues if it doesn't wrap up. If Iran can keep successfully lobbing ballistics, hitting oil infrastructure, radar bases, not just random hotels, but hotels that actually contain high-value targets, CIA people, diplomats, troops, all over the region. If they can keep doing that, if they can keep disruptions, you can tell that the United States did not have a long-term plan, that maybe the military did, but the administration that's calling the shots didn't have a long-term plan, because they had no plan for evacuating their people that are stuck all over the Middle East. They're having to cobble something together. The first message that I read that went out to those who are stranded because air traffic is completely disrupted is, get on the nearest civilian airliner that you can. We're closing all the consulates, so don't expect help. Get on the next available commercial flight, even though there's very few commercial flights because the airspace has been shut down because there's missiles being lobbed back and forth all over the place. The essential message to American citizens is, you're on your own. Now, that message is changing. I don't want you to say I'm a perpetrator of fake news. They're trying to cobble something together. They did not have a plan for this eventuality. I saw J.D. Vance. He made a comment that this president will not get us into a multi-year war without strategic clarity. First off, he said multi-year. He didn't say year-long. So now we've extended the timeline from a day or two to maybe a week, to 3 to 4 weeks, maybe longer, maybe ground troops, maybe not, to a year at least. In rapid, I mean, we're talking in a matter of hours. The timeline is getting extended. It's because they don't have clear strategic objectives. They're making it up as they go. We went from it being Iran can't have a nuclear program to now they can't have a navy. They can't have a missile program. They can't have an army. They can't have anything. You're basically just saying that they're, whether you like the Iranian regime or not, that is inconsequential. You're telling them, give up your sovereignty, give up your self-defense, and absolutely bow to us, or you're the bad guys, and we're going to bomb you into oblivion. And we don't care how many people we kill in the pursuit of this. And somehow that's going to magically turn into a change of government. You're seeing it on the ground. Iran is just galvanizing around the government. And without ground troops, like people keep saying, well, look at how fast Hussein's regime collapsed during Bush Jr.'s efforts. The regime might have collapsed. Iraq was still a mess. But there were divisions of troops that backed that up, and preparation and ground forces. In this case, there's no plans. All Iran has to do is survive as a cohesive entity and engage in guerrilla warfare with ballistics and drone warfare over one of the most challenging terrains in the history of the world for an invader. It's like, it's Afghanistan with its tribal people. Checkmated both the Soviet army and the American army. Iran is not Afghanistan. It is not Pakistan. These are not illiterates. This is a highly advanced civilization, thousands of years old, with an immense country, with mountains and ranges. You can look at it on a map and it looks small. But when you zoom in, you start to understand the challenge of it. That's why nobody's ever really successfully conquered it since Alexander's time. How could the United States walk into this conflict without clear strategic objectives? And there's answers to that, political answers to that, egotistical answers to that, identity answers to that, but none of them have the depth of strategy required for this operation. And I hope I'm wrong about all of it. I really do. But I don't think I am. I am. Sending U.S. naval assets into the Strait of Hormuz is just asking for a disaster. And at the end of the day, if you believed in MAGA at all, or even just elements of it, as I did, there's a lot of ideas that I liked. Some things I didn't, some things I did. I'm a nuanced person. This whole thing has the potential, if it hasn't happened already, I mean, Spain will not let the United States use its bases for offensive operations against Iran, which, by the way, keep that in mind. This is an offensive war of aggression on the part of the United States. When Hegseth came up and he said, we didn't start this war, but we're sure going to finish it. What planet are you on, man? But because Spain won't allow its bases to be used, he's just going to embargo them. This is international geopolitics. On the fly, make it up as you go and hope it works out. Maybe it was always going to be this way. And now that Trump has put out, via Truth Social, his plan to send U.S. naval assets into the Persian Gulf, into the Strait of Hormuz, it's going to be really hard for him to walk that back. He's not exactly known for walking that back. I mean, you listen to military experts. I've actually discovered a number of them in recent times. It's incredible. Scott Ritter and there's a guy, Daniel Davis, and Douglas McGregor. These are names I didn't know until a couple days ago. And I'm watching them and I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. I may not be a decorated soldier, but I understand strategy. I understand history. I understand Persia. And there's a lot to unpack here. It is not simple. It's a lot more complicated than Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. And look at the mess that was made of those places. Got Iraqis lining up to help Iran survive. Anyway, all that is to say, I hope that more of the MAGA base wakes up to what's actually happening here instead of just the circling of the wagons and trying to insult and demean anybody that's pointing out the strategic error of this entire episode. Instead of just name-calling and trying to make us go away, instead of unsubscribing and unfollowing and announcing your intent, casting aspersions, saying I'm getting paid by Qatar now, saying I'm an Islamist, or the laziest of all epithets and attacks, that I am a raging anti-Semite. Lazy, unintelligent, stupid people. You can disagree, but I ask you to think about what you're seeing before it gets worse, because the only thing Donald Trump seems to care about anymore is how he's perceived by certain individuals. Maybe if there's enough noise, you can start to make sense. I mean, he's losing a lot of the core MAGA base. Do you understand what happens in November? If these crazy, and they are crazy, Democrats gain control of the House and the Senate, do you know what happens? Rubio, Hegseth, Trump, they'll all be dragged before the House. The whole thing will get bogged down, and all the good ideas will get bogged down with it. And that's a huge concern with anybody who's, as I am, very interested in the idea of Fortress North America and getting together. I mean, the whole point of resisting the Carney government or resisting this move towards China is to mend fences here in North America. That whole notion risks being totally torpedoed by these actions. And there's a lot of lives that are getting wasted as a result. At any rate, this was the video I did not intend to make today, but here it is anyway. I'm Frank Vaughn. Drop your insults in the comments section. I ain't going to read a word of them, probably till tomorrow morning. See you in the next one.